Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles star, James Harris. James has enjoyed an epic year with over $600 million in sales. He's rocking the luxury real estate market in Los Angeles. With Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles premiering on November 2nd, a new private listing venture called the PLS, and a speaking engagement with Entrepreneur Magazine on the horizon, James' success takes some time out of his busy schedule to chat with us and share some secrets to how he's making it all work. Now, let's join our host, Tim Harris.
And Mr. Show Producer, I have unmuted him. So, James, welcome to today's podcast. I certainly appreciate you being my co-host for today's show. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of ground to cover, and I know you need to keep the show today tight because you have to go back to filming for the TV show. So welcome, and thank you for your carve-out for us today.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
Very good. So James and I were just joking prior to the show that he and I somehow must be long-lost cousins because Harris is a Scottish name, as some of you guys know, and obviously both of our last names are Harris. So, yeah, you know, we're probably long-lost cousins. That's all good. And no, you don't need to be my cousin. That's right. Well, I'll see you at the next family reunion, right?
Exactly.
Well, so look, you had a huge increase in volume. If you don't mind me just jumping right into it. And this is what, you know, our listeners, 100 and some thousand regular listeners, they're going to really want to drill down on the numbers because you had an epic increase. If I read your notes from your agent correctly, over the, like, you've doubled what you did the previous 2 years. How the heck did you do that?
Honestly, I couldn't give you a pinpointed answer other than hard work and tenacity and teamwork. You know, it's been an extraordinary year. We're very grateful, but it doesn't go without hard work and not giving up and a lot of drive.
Yeah, amen. And so, guys, just to put this in perspective, in 2015 and 16, and if any of my notes are wrong, James, just say so, he sold $250 million in real estate. And then this year, as we said at the top of the show here, he's going to close at least $600 million in 2017. That's pretty incredible. So let's talk a little bit about, you have an interesting niche that you're carving out, that you're creating, that you're getting a great reputation around called, it's your listing venture called PLS. Can you tell us about that a little bit? Let us know how that benefits the seller and maybe agents listening in any market other than yours might want to copy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's discuss it. And PLS is the pocket listing service. And you know, there's approximately 1.2 million licensed agents across the United States. And so what we wanted to essentially do was create a platform that would bring power back to the real estate agents. And so we've created a platform where agents can actually sign up and post their pocket listings onto a platform and share it with other agents around America. If an agent has a buyer requirement, they can post it onto the platform. And essentially, it's one place where all the information is aggregated and agents can share information with one another. But the main purpose of why we did it is, as agents, we so often go into listing meetings and, you know, we've come in prepared with our comps and let's just use a round number of $5 million on a listing price. Well, the seller wants $6 million, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. So we can use the PLS as a platform to test price points before you go on the market, before you accrue days on market, which is obviously detrimental to a listing. And so it gives us as agents a platform to show our clients that, you know, we're using alternative methods to sell their property and also test price points. So there's a few good reasons of why the PLS is become as successful as it is right now, and I encourage everybody to sign up. It's a great, great tool to use.
And what's the URL so they can look into that more on their own?
It's thepls.com, and what I'm going to do for all of the listeners is get a promo code that you guys can post, which will give everyone that signs in through the podcast a one-year complimentary access to the site and the platform.
Perfect. Just send that over to our producer, and we'll put it in the show description. That way everyone that's listening will read it on Stitcher and iTunes and the rest of it. So let's talk a little bit about I'm curious about this PLS idea. So it sounds to me like these are properties that are not going to be on the MLS, thus they're not going to be on Zillow, they're not going to be on Trulia, they're not going to be on all your competing brokers' websites. So this is basically scaling of the coming soon strategy that listing agents started doing essentially when Zillow started selling buyer leads, and a lot of times the buyers were confused into thinking that they were calling the listing agent really what they were calling as the agent who paid to have their picture by your listing. Maybe in some ways, some people would argue, deceptively trying to convince the buyer that that was the listing agent. And so your PLS, in essence, if I'm understanding you correctly, is taking the control back and putting it in the hands of the listing agent, the agents who have done all the hard work in the first place to secure the listing. And is that part of the ethos that's behind the formation of this idea?
100%. And you basically nailed it. I mean, the way that Zillow works is that an agent pays per month to essentially become a premier agent. And like you said, it becomes misleading online when agents receive calls and it's not their listings. And we're just simply bringing the power back to the real estate agent. And I think, you know, as real estate agents, you know, we get, I would say 70 to 80 emails a day with off-market listings. But the problem is when you've got another 300 emails coming in the same day, you know, those drop in your inbox and you forget about them. Well, this way it consolidates the pocket listing. It puts it onto a platform. It allows agents to review the information in their own time as that client comes up, rather than having to scramble through your email and think, oh, I saw that email a couple of weeks ago. So we're literally just aggregating the information onto one platform and making it an easy tool for agents to use, whether they're looking for pockets, adding pockets, they have a requirement. And again, and I keep saying it because I feel like it's so important as our industry continues to change, we're bringing the power back to the agent who can post that information.
Well, not just the agent, but let's be specific, James. You're being more politically correct because you're a nice English gentleman. But it's basically putting the power back in the hands of the listing agent, the person who did all the work. I mean, that's essentially
exactly
what you're doing, which makes total sense. And so this site
that's
isn't
exactly
for
right.
the general pub. This site isn't for the general public. This site is just for agents. They're looking for off-market listings, and or is this accessible by the general public? How does this work?
The website is not accessible by the general public. You do have to have an active BRE license in order to sign up. And again, you nailed it. This just brings the power back to the listing agent who's done the work, established the relationship. It allows the listing agent to show the seller that they are looking into alternative methods on how to sell a property without just sticking it on the MLS. It allows the agent to test the price point.
I love
and,
it.
It's
a great idea.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and it really is a great idea because I can see you guys heard him say, I'm sure some of you tuned out when he said a $5 million listing because, James, remember, we have an audience that's literally, you know, 99% U.S. citizens, but we have people all over the world, and $5 million would be what maybe some brokers do for the entire year. But, guys, this is relevant no matter what market you're in, what price range you're in, and what market conditions you're in. This is a great idea, and this is really the way that smart agents are fighting back against basically – their labors, their hard work being essentially, you know, I don't even know what, I don't want to use any bad words on this podcast, but I don't know about you guys, but I'm real sick of seeing listing agents getting having their work hoarded out just for the sake of some entity that's not even paying them for the listing. I mean, there it is. I just probably was a little tacky, but that's okay. That's how I am.
You
all right, so let's talk.
And just to reiterate that so everyone is clear, we have listings on there from 100,000 up to 50 million. There is no right or wrong listing to put up there. And on top of that, you can input as little information as you want or as much information as you want. So you can keep it confidential, but just post several photos or a street name or the square footage and bedroom count, or you can load up the entire listing if you're protected with a listing agreement. And again, we deal with every state across the U.S., and price point is obviously irrelevant. I was using $5 million as a benchmark, but absolutely, you can post any price point there that you wish to.
Well, Well, Mr. Harris, it's your benchmark. It's not for most of the country, I assure you. But keep that your benchmark. Actually, that's too low. You should double it, right? So let's,
hey,
you and your partner. One of the things I love about you guys, and the reason that Julie and I call the million dollar agent series, we call that one of our guilty pleasures. We have very few, but that's definitely one of them. And one of the things we like best about you guys, you and your partner, is you guys did not come from the country. Obviously, you guys didn't have any kind of social inroads. You guys didn't have any kind of sort of reason to be as successful as you've become. And you said it on the top of the podcast. Basically, it came down to dedication and hard work. And that sounds like it's one of those little, it sounds like almost a platitude that people are almost sick of hearing, but that is really the bottom line. So if you're, let's say we're, because obviously we're talking to over 100,000 agents. So some of them want to do what you've done, not necessarily in your market, but they want to break into the high end. What suggestions do you have for somebody, maybe just three simple things that they could do, or it doesn't even have to be simple, that they could do if they wanted to break out of the meat and potatoes price range and work into the ultra luxury like where you specialize?
I have always felt, as has David, that the real estate market, no matter where you are, is about perception and putting your brand out there and letting people know what you do. We're very lucky in today's market that we have all of the tools through social media to promote our business. But if I go back to the very beginning of our business, outside of hard work, it included a lot of creativity. And David and I would call up our title rep, and he would print us a big spreadsheet of all the houses in one dedicated area. And, we'd start at the top of the street, and we'd rock, paper, scissors for who was going to door knock which house. And one of us would drive and the other one would door knock. And, door knocking can be a tedious process, but, you door knock 100 houses and you get one interested listing. Well, that could turn into 5 listings through word of mouth. So I thoroughly recommend door knocking, and have no fear when you door knock. David and I door knocked everyone from Leonardo DiCaprio house to Dr. Dre's house. There's no fear in or shame in whose house you door knock. And then sitting open houses, getting to know your market, learning the market, making sure that you have all of the information at your fingertips. When you take 3 hours out of your day on a Sunday to sit an open house, make sure that every single person that walks through that front door is somebody that you consider to be a lead, and make sure that you show interest. And if that house that you're sitting isn't for them, then tell them about 3 others that might work for them. And then follow up. Follow up is everything. Clients have access to work with whoever they want. But if they see that you have information and you're knowledgeable of your local market, and they see that you're a go-getter and you continue to follow up and you're consistent, there's no reason that client shouldn't want to work with you. So those really are the 3 things that have worked for David and I from the very beginning. And I would encourage that to any new agent that's out there that's trying to get up on their feet and get their business started.
When you were originally, and I know you guys do a lot of calling too, when you were originally doing, starting to do the heavy lifting, the real work of the business, and you were coming to the realization that it can't just be passive, you can't just be buying leads, you can't be doing all that stuff, that's sort of what amateur agents do. How difficult was it for you to go from being a passive agent to a proactive agent, where you started knocking on the doors, where you started actually going after the business? Was that challenging for you, or do you even remember that mental process?
I remember it very clearly. I think in any new business, it's a challenge. I think you have to be up for the challenge. We always say you have to work harder than your competition, be creative, think outside the box. And there's no harm in looking at who your competition is or who is the best in your local market and learn from them. What did they do to become successful? And how can I do it differently? And how can I do it better? And for us, we knew we wanted to go for the high-end luxury market. We knew who our competition was, and we weren't going to give up until we got there. And I think, again, it just goes back to hard work, teamwork, David and I being able to trust one another implicitly, and just making sure that you set yourself targets and goals and not giving up until you meet them.
How did you overcome not being from the area? Because where you're selling real estate, there are tons of, second, third, fourth generation families. And as a result, they have, family members that have done that either have licenses or if they've done real estate with these particular agents for the last, 2,000 years. How did you guys break into this ultra high-end market, this ultra luxury market, really obviously not being from the area? Because that's a huge obstacle, or at least a mental challenge that folks have. I can't go to that market or that price range, David, because I'm not from there. I didn't go to those schools. My kids don't go to the private schools. I don't live in those neighborhoods. How did you work your head around that, and what was the actual reaction of folks when you actually were standing in front of someone with a $19 million house? Did they really care that you weren't born and bred in that community?
I think people always care, but, you know, as someone once told me, the opposite of fear is faith, and you got to have faith in your success, and you can't be afraid of numbers. Whether you're doing a $100,000 deal or you're doing a $1 million deal, it shouldn't make any difference to the approach that you take. And for David and I, you know, going back 5 years where we didn't know anyone, we didn't even know the broker community, let alone the clients that lived in the areas, was we found a niche, which was the developer market. And builders were starting to develop in areas like Bel Air and the Hollywood Hills and Beverly Hills. And we had one specific client that we were introduced to that told us he wanted to buy a teardown. And so instead of David and I just sitting there making phone calls, we pounded the pavement and we got in our car and we looked for teardowns. And there was a house on a street called Perugia Way, which is in Bel Air on a cul-de-sac. And we had heard that there was a chance that they could sell. The seller had passed away some time ago and the house went into a trust. And so David and I door-knocked the property. We rang the doorbell and the cleaning lady came to the top of the driveway and, you know, we pleaded with her. We said, look, we have a client that doesn't need to see the inside of the house, but our client is motivated by its location. Would you guys be interested in selling? And she said, no, no, no. And we said, look, please just take our business card. And she took our business card. And 2 days later, we got a phone call from a real estate agent that represented the trust that was actually selling the house. They said $6.5 million. We took it back to our client that we'd never done a deal with and only spoken to 2 or 3 times. And long story short, we connected the dots. The buyer paid $6.5 million. He bought the house sight unseen. And that house will be completed by the end of this year and we'll be listing it for $45 million. So, you know, it's just about being creative and door knocking and taking advantage of that one client, if it is a developer, and going out and finding the property.
What are the misconceptions people have about working with the ultra luxury and the high end, you know, type home buyer? Well, let's not even worry about buyer. Let's focus on sellers, right? You know, you clearly know that the listing into the business is where the power and the control and the money is. So what are the misconceptions you think that when you're out speaking, and I know you're doing a lot of speaking events and you're being called out to a lot of interviews, and I'm sure a lot of people think that maybe working with that ultra high end seller, you know, requires some special witchcraft and alchemy. Can you kind of, you know, clear the air on what they expect?
Again, it goes back to the fact that we are in a service industry. And if your client can see that you are hardworking, respectful, honest, transparent, truly have your client's best interests at heart, whether it's high-end, ultra-high-end, not high-end, it's all the same. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with emotions. No matter what price point you're in, this is usually the most expensive purchase of one's life when they buy their home. And you just need to have that fiduciary duty to your client that you are going to take care of them and look after them. And when the client can truly feel that you care and your follow-up is there and you are sending them properties or you're being creative in how you sell their property, it doesn't matter what price point you're in or who you're dealing with, whether it's a celebrity, an entrepreneur, high end, no matter what, they will know that and they will want to work with you and then they will ultimately give you referrals.
Well, for example, give us and I understand completely everything you said, but just for the sake of the audience, when you're talking about servicing a seller or a buyer or anybody in that price range, the service that you're providing is essentially not delegating them. That's the number one thing. And when they call, you answer the phone. When they ask for something, you've already done it. Those types of expectations. So you guys have to remember that people in that price range are spoiled. And they're not just spoiled now and then. They're spoiled all the time. And if you can't spoil them with service, if you can't exceed their expectations, you're just not going to be a match for them. They literally won't even call you back. And that's the thing that's interesting when you study ultra-high-end agents. They get that, and the other agents seem to have an attitude about having to work that hard to, you know, satisfy a seller. How do you, when you're working with, when you're starting to break into this price range and you're dealing with incredibly demanding, I'm sure your celebrity clients and just everybody, you know, when you're, how did you work past the, you know, the fact that they don't generally respect boundaries as far as time?
Unfortunately, having a healthy balance between work and family and, you know, clients that don't respect boundaries is something that I think I'll be learning for the rest of my life. You know, clients don't respect your boundaries. There's no such thing as a healthy boundary. Mm-hmm. They do expect to hear back from you. They do expect a response. But I think that in our business, as an agent, you have to set the boundary. And it's an incredibly tough thing to do because there is a lot of competition. And we all know that our clients can work with whoever they want, whenever they want. But I feel like if your client, i.e. seller, can see that you are forward thinking and you are working for them, in turn, they should respect your boundaries. And if they don't, then there's some clients that David and I have had to let go in the past. And you shouldn't be afraid to do that either, you know, because some clients, they want the world and they're just rude. Those clients, you can't really have time for. So I think you have to be selective, but be smart and set a healthy boundary from the very beginning.
So now that you are an international celebrity on a million-dollar listing, how many seasons has it been? Is it 3 or 4?
It's been 4. So the show airs on November 2nd, which will be season 10 of Million Dollar Listing, David and R's 4th season. And I think it's important that we all recognize, and that's the cast on the show, that without our real estate, there is no show. So for me, the real estate business and the clients come first. And the show comes second. So clients understand that. They know that we're there for them. And again, it just goes back to hard work and being able to balance your time.
So a lot of the MDL list agents in New York and, you know, and Miami, we have they've been superstars of ours. Some of them are coaching clients, and we always refer anytime agents and even members have a referral that needs to go to those particular markets. Obviously, you guys make the top of our list. So if an agent wanted to send you a lead, how do they communicate with you? What's the best way? Buyer or seller, how do they get hold of you?
Buyer, seller, anyone that wants to work with us, we just strongly encourage you pick up the telephone and give us a call. We're very accessible. We're people, so we like to work with others. And you can email me, myself, David, or phone us, email us, whatever's easiest. We're available.
How is being the person you've become, going from, you know, 5 years ago, you guys were just getting started, and now you're going to close almost $1 billion in real estate this year. How has your life changed in the past 5 to 6 years?
Honestly, it hasn't changed. I know everyone wants to hear how it has. But, you know, I'm a father of two. I'm married, and I think that you always, again, have to remember that you're in a service business, and you have to just stay focused and continue to act for your clients and not let being on a show or making money get in the way of you. You have to remain focused. And it really hasn't changed me, to be honest, or David. I think we just have goals and we want to continue beating them every year and continue growing our business and branding ourselves and growing our area in terms of where we service our clients and just stay focused.
Well, I know the film crew is waiting for you. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you need to get back to filming for the next episode.
No,
so as we wrap up, I know they're waiting for you over in the green room and all that. So as we wrap up today's podcast, anything you'd like to say to folks out there? I mean, with over 100,000 regular listens, we have a lot of people that are going to be, you know, star worshiping this interview. They're going to be listening to every word you said. They're going to be hanging on to every little everything that you said because they're looking for encouragement and motivation. If you can go back to, like, the person you guys – or the position you and David were in, say, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and you guys were thinking about basically hitting it big in real estate, what would have been something you would have loved to have heard on the podcast to encourage and motivate other people?
Honestly, to stay focused, to be creative, to learn – your local market, remember how important brand perception is, the message that you want to portray to your clients. And again, look at who the competition is, focus on that person, look at how you can do things differently, think outside the box, be tenacious, sit open houses, door knock. And again, one thing we were told very early is, as important as clients are, agents stay. You've got to have great relationships with agents because the agency world is key. Again, another reason that we set up the PLS is for that platform to bring power back to the agents. And just stay focused and work hard.
Well, you know, you just said something really important. It's worth mentioning again. Those of you guys who are already in the high end, you know this is true. Those of you who are thinking about getting in the high end, you'll find that the air is indeed a lot rarer on that level, and you're going to find that, generally speaking, the transactions listing sides are done by really, in an, even in a huge market like L.A. where there's a lot of, you know, multi-million-dollar properties, they're really not spread amongst too many different listing agents because, generally speaking, the listing agents in those particular markets, once they get market share, you know, because of their superior brand, and really at the end of the day, guys, if you're looking for the way to establish your brand as the person that does a great job getting your listing sold. The sold sign ultimately is going to be your best marketing for your brand that you'll ever create. But do network with those other agents. Do get to know them. Do befriend them. Do respect them. And one of the things that a lot of folks do is they'll call up agents like James and David, and they'll say, hey, guys, guess what? Look, I have this high-end listing. It might be expiring. Would it be okay, you know, if I refer it to you? And if you guys are ever in the position to want to, say, for example, refer something that's about to expire back to me, I'd certainly appreciate it. Establish long-term relationships with those guys, because when you have a, you know, a market that's hot, you're going to need to have each other's backs. And when you have a market that's slow, you're going to be able to network and at a very high level and maybe do some marketing events, even though they're your competition. That's how it works in the ultra-high end, guys. So, James, listen, I really, really appreciate you being on our show today. Really appreciate you being my co-host. Love you on the show. Julie and I are definitely going to be watching and cheering you along. We're rooting for you guys to do over $1 billion. I'll say it again, $1 billion in 2018. I'm sure you're thinking of something, a number even higher. But from one Harris to another, man, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon in the near future.
We will, and make sure that please do send that link so we can send business to you for the off-market listing service, and also send your best email, because I want to include that, or your phone number. I want to include that in the article too, so in case any of the listeners want to send you business, they'll have that direct contact as well. All right?
We'll include everything. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'll speak with you soon. Everyone have a great day. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.